our top debate. The All India Muslim Personal Law Board fighting a battle it says is for fundamental justice. A unified civil code, they insist, just cannot happen. Others say this is an excuse for an age of oppression and a complete inability to see women as equals in every sense.
The Muslim Personal Law Board presenting a united face against the government and against women's groups who want change. They have made it clear they will boycott the Law Commission's questionnaire that asks for feedback on ending the practice of triple talaq.
Mard aur auratein usi qanoon par zinda hain aur amal karte hain raat mein aur din mein. Aaj kya masla hai ki hum ye samajhte hain ye dhoka hai, dhoka iski koi vastavikta aur haqeeqat nahi hai. Kal Islam ki mukhalifat mein bol rahi hai, uske favor mein nahi bol rahi hai.
That if there are groups which feel that, do you think that the Muslim Personal Law Board will consider what they think?
No. Why only few women they will consider that, whereas more women are pro All India Muslim Personal Law Board?
The Muslim groups say this is a move by the Modi government to divert attention from real internal security issues. But feminists who are fighting for reforms in triple talaq and polygamy point out that the Muslim Personal Law Board is the one that is out of sync.
कुछ ऐसे लोग हैं जिनकी जो विचारधारा है वो पितृसत्ता से भरी विचारधारा है. गवर्नमेंट ऑफ इंडिया ने भी हम अपना संवैधानिक दायित्व निभाते हुए राय दी है जिसका हम स्वागत करते हैं.
The question now, will all political parties back it?
लॉ कमीशन का जो क्वेश्चनियर है हम उसका जरूर जवाब देंगे और जब जवाब तैयार हो जाएगा उनको भिजाएंगे और आपको भी उसको बताएंगे.
तो मेरा मानना है कि विदाउट पॉलिटिकल प्रोजिडिस के हमें खुले तौर से इस पर चर्चा करनी चाहिए.
फॉर देयर पार्ट द लॉ कमीशन हेड जस्टिस बी एस चौहान सेड दे विल गो बाय द कॉन्स्टिट्यूशन एंड द विल ऑफ द पीपल बट दे डोंट वॉन्ट टू फोर्स एनी मेजोरिटी व्यू ऑन माइनॉरिटीज. Last week, the government told the Supreme Court that it wants to end triple talaq, which allows Muslim men to divorce their wives by saying talaq three times.
Question really is, who speaks for the Muslims in India? Is it the women's groups backed by progressive men? Or is it these community leaders who see every suggestion for change as an attack on the Muslim community? With Arunachalam Vaidyanathan in New Delhi, Sunetra Chaudhary for NDTV.
Well, it's a debate that's gone on now for so many decades, but finally, is there a sign that things may change? It's an issue which concerns the fundamental rights of women. It's an issue which concerns the rights of millions of Muslims across the country. It's an issue which, on the one hand, is based on a religious interpretation of the law, and on the other hand, there is the constitution of the country, and then there is the law itself of the land. Joining us now to debate all of these issues and what it means, and it does once again bring us back to the triple talaq debate, because the issue of women's rights is fundamental to this entire debate. I'd like to introduce my panel this evening. Kamal Farooqi, member of the Muslim Personal Law Board, with us in the studio. Nalin Kohli of the BJP. Zafar Sareshwala, Chancellor of Maulana Azad National Urdu University, with us. Zakia Soman, who's been a petitioner against triple talaq, joins us, as does Maulana Khalid Rashid, the well-known Muslim cleric. I'd like to thank all of you very much for being with us. Mr. Farooqi, let me come to you first, sir. Why exactly has the argument been made today that the Law Commission questionnaire is a fraud and that the Law Commission is not acting independently? These were some of the points which were raised in your press conference. And the reason I ask this is because Article 44 of the Constitution clearly provides that the state shall endeavor to provide for its citizens a uniform civil code.
Yeah, that has been there right from the beginning. And we have been discussing about the Uniform Civil Code, not right now, we discussed it in the Constituent Assembly also. And we had a very detailed discussion on this, and our forefathers who drafted all this kind of things, there is a very famous saying of Baba Sahib Ambedkar, who says that it will be only fool who will be trying to impose it without this consensus of the people. So, as far as we are
concerned, seeking the consensus, sir. There is an appeal.
No. Please, if you are talking about it, see, the most of the items are only relating to the Muslims. They are talking about the polygamy.
All.
Yes,
Yes.
Most are there of other religions as well. But see, point number two
is totally about the Muslims.
But there are other points which are not of Muslims. Point number eight, do you think that steps should be taken to ensure that Hindu women are better able to exercise their right to property? Point number nine is on Christians.
Questionnaire is to be seen in the light of the affidavit which the government has filed. And within just 30 seconds, I'll tell you.
Inter-religion caste. It's not only about Muslims, this is a very fair document.
Why it has happened, in fact, now? This is, in fact, the matter is already in the court, and the government has already filed its affidavit. And I want to make this, through your channel, I want to make it very clear that we wanted to meet Honorable Prime Minister, because he had committed that he is the Prime Minister of 125 crore people. We wanted our point of view to be given to him, and we sent him the letters. It is not even acknowledged.
Why do you call the Law Commission questionnaire a fraud?
Yes.
That's my basic question.
No, I have not said fraud anywhere.
So it was there in the press conference.
No, it has not said fraud anywhere.
The Law Commission is not acting independently. The Law Commission is acting at the behest of the centre.
Yeah, where is the
fraud?
These were points which were raised in the press conference.
This is what I was told came up in the press conference.
No, it is not there. I was there, so that's not correct. We respect Law Commission, but the framing of the question is such which is going to influence the Supreme Court case also.
So you have said fraud in that press conference?
No, we haven't. I'm told that word was used.
Anyway, let's move on.
That's not the point, in fact. The point is that the filing of the affidavit in the Supreme Court by the government without taking the wider perspective of the Muslims, which constitute the largest minority of the country, in fact, that itself shows the government is bent upon creating a kind of divide.
But you can respond to this appeal, sir.
That is our response.
Sir, you can respond by replying to the questions.
There is no need of replying.
Why not, sir?
There is no need of replying. You cannot force me to reply.
Nobody can force you, sir, that's what I'm saying. It's a request.
It's not the government making an appeal. Yes, we say that uniform civil court in any form is not acceptable to us. That is our answer. Okay.
Nalin, would you like to
come in
over here?
Instead of saying in so many words,
they reject this appeal in its entirety. Yes. They believe it doesn't represent their interest. They believe they were not consulted before this appeal was brought out.
Well, they have rejected the consultation process.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, the inherent part of democracy. So they don't also want to participate in it. They want to condemn. They want to make political points. They want to attack the Prime Minister. And they want to, at the same time, not participate. Let's approach this a little without passion. The Constitution has it part of it, so whatever it is a part of the constitutional scheme, it is a part of the desirability of what needs to be done. This existed in 47, 48, 49, 50 when it's adopted, and every Indian, irrespective of their faith, including every Muslim Indian, also accepted the Constitution in totality. You can't say, I will choose a part I like and I'll reject the part I don't, because this is a complete document. Yes. So it's absolutely in toto, because the rights that are also there under 26 to 29, for minorities, exist in the same document.
Yes.
So does Article 14, which is right to equality. 21, right to life. That's the first part. The second is that this is not an imposition. The triple talaq issue has come up before the Honorable Supreme Court, not because the BJP or the government of the day has filed any petition. It's come because women from the Muslim community have gone ahead and filed these petitions.
Correct.
Let me finish. Whatever be the response, the government is putting in an affidavit because the government is required to. But the government is not the one who filed the petition.
No.
So therefore, the next part to it is, with regard to the petition itself, to this also, there are Muslim countries, as has been pointed out in the affidavit, who have gone ahead, reformed their personal laws. Yes. Which include in our neighborhood, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Egypt, Morocco, whatever. Now, are these Muslim countries any less Muslim than the All India Muslim Law Board? And are there practices outside the Quranic traditions or whatever it is? This is for them to debate out. Last point. When you are looking at this entire issue of uniform civil code, if there is a discussion on it, they have every opportunity to go and put it out there. But why do you blame the government?
Process?
No, why do you blame the government? Why do you attack the BJP? Why do you attack the Prime Minister?
Khalid Rashid Saab, this is the part which I don't understand. You can reject whatever it is that you seek to reject. But this is an appeal which has framed questions where they seek an answer from you and so many others across this country. Why reject a process of consultation? Is this not what we are supposed to be participating in, a consultative process? Isn't that our democracy?
We have started a signature. We are going to start a signature campaign from Lucknow tomorrow, in which we will send that pro forma to the Law Commission of India. And the brighter part of the signature campaign is that it will be signed by a majority of Muslim women also. that will make it very clear that what the Muslim woman of this country wants. One thing. Second thing, if the government of the day accept that Muslims are very much a part of this country, then I think that before submitting that affidavit, the government must have listened to what Muslim Personal Law Board and the other Muslim organization wants.
But sir, there are other religions over here also. There are Christians, there are Hindus over here.
I'd like
this
to just
is the
ask
government.
Something.
This is the government which has come up with a series of questions for all religions. They are asking you to respond to this. Why do they need to consult anyone prior to this process?
We are responding.
Sir, you can respond.
We are responding. I have already.
So why don't you respond to many of these questions in this appeal? Sir, it is an appeal by a justice of the Supreme Court, sir.
It's a respectable body.
It's not a respectable question, sir.
We are responding before the deadline end, that is the 15th of November. We will submit the all the pro forma signed by various Muslims and other Muslim organizations to the law commission of India.
Vishnu,
I'll come to you next.
Two quick points, very quickly. First of all, is the question is not about anyone's faith. The question is whether the question I'm saying is whether they believe in the constitution, because the consultation has to be within the constitutional scheme. And if you accept the constitution, then you can't say we are rejecting this, we won't talk about it, we think it's incorrect. Because the fact of the matter is, it is part of that document which this country has sworn to accept it, which is included by the Muslims, Hindus, Christians, everyone. So either you believe in the constitutional scheme or you don't.
Right.
If you don't believe in it, then there's a problem.
We do believe
in the constitution of India. Whether Article 25 of the Constitution of India includes Muslims or not.
Yes, and does Article 14 of Right to Equality include Muslim women or not? No, that's the counter.
What about other articles which ask the government of the day that every Indian should be given education up to the age of 14 and so on.
Therefore I can challenge you and say go and read Article 13, which says anything that is not in sync with the basic structure of the constitution cannot exist.
Vishnu, there are two things my brother has said. The
constitution of India also says that the wealth of the country should not be stagnant in few hands.
No sir, you're making a weak argument. Read the preamble which talks about equality of women.
One moment. Kamal Farooqi. Kamal Farooqi is waiting.
Brother has said two things about it. One is he's talking about the constitution. We understand the constitution and we believe the constitution. And Article 44 is not the part of that fundamental right.
It's only the directive principle.
And directive principle, as London Maulana has said, has so many other things which the government has not done. And perhaps they will never do it or they will do it. But the first thing is that fundamental right are most important thing. And what he's talking about, the equality, what he was talking about, below this is the whole thing itself. And the Honorable Supreme Court has already said it, not in one case, in 3-4 cases earlier, that the Supreme Court is not going to legislate the religion. The other thing is what my learned brother has said about.
But this is what is going to be decided now by the Supreme Court.
Let me answer.
Let's not prejudge what the court says.
Let me answer. I'm answering about my learned brother, what he said. He has referred, and you are also referring about these certain countries, in fact. Two things are there. I am governed by my country's laws, in fact, and I am proud that Muslims of this country have rather given a lot of advice to outside of the
same faith, sir.
Yes, it's a faith, and it is a question of the faith only.
The faith applies to all these countries,
which my learned brother has read, they have not banned triple talaq. They have only regulated it, including the Pakistan. And as far as we are concerned, we have already regulated it. We have already regulated it because marriage is a contract, and in our nikah nama, we have already provided the provision for the arbitration wherein both the parties are there. So please don't say that the countries have banned it.
Sir, if you look at what is being argued in the Supreme Court by those who reject, who believe that triple talaq needs to continue, let me read out some of those points. Triple talaq is a form of divorce, is permissible in Islam, as husband is in a better position to take a decision because they will not take a hasty decision. Huh?
These are part of the arguments.
If a man wants to get rid of triple talaq should be allowed, because if it is not allowed, a man may want to get rid of his wife in a hasty manner, which may even be in murder.
That's
sir, this is 2016.
That is what actually is the
all value freedom
Muslim
of life.
Personal law board
how
has,
can you how no, can these arguments
again,
be made
again,
in court,
Vishnu,
sir?
You are quoting out of context. Muslim personal law board has said that, and you know it, day in, day out, every day we find that there were that the ladies are being burned by the people, in fact, who are not in a position to get rid of from the marriage contract. In fact, as far as the Muslim personal law board is concerned,
yes,
it is only referring it. By no means, it will show that we are either advocating it or we are suggesting it.
Okay, Zakir Soban, come in over here. There are lots of points which have been raised. You are the petitioner in the case in the Supreme Court against triple talaq. What are some of the arguments which have been raised which you find deeply, deeply offensive, not just as a woman, but as a Muslim?
First of all, Vishnu, I would like to just, make things very simple here. Because a lot of arguments are being presented, but the truth is actually quite simple. What is it that the Muslim women are asking for? We are asking for our Quranic rights. We are saying the Quran does not permit triple talaq. Then why is it that we have to face triple talaq in our lives? We are saying, if Allah has created us equal to the men, then who are these bunch of men to deny us our equality? And we are saying, as citizens of India, that we are entitled to gender justice in our own country. So every which way the Muslim women are demanding justice and equality, which is being denied to the Muslim women. I would say the Quran gave us right 1400 years ago, and it is now 70 years to India's independence, and yet our fates are being decided by certain sections of patriarchal male bodies, and that is what we are looking to address. That is what we are looking to change.
Okay.
Now, talking about the personal law board affidavit,
yes,
they have given certain absurd kind of propositions in their affidavit, saying that men have greater capacity to think and women cannot think for themselves. They are saying that if men will not be allowed to do polygamy, then the women will resort to some kind of devious, lustful behavior. I'm sorry, they are not aware of the social realities. They are also not aware of the Quranic injunctions, because they are fighting to preserve this patriarchal and unjust order, and it is high time this situation is addressed.
Maulana Khalid Rashid, before I go across to Mr. Sareshwala,
Vishnu,
who's been waiting very patiently, and I apologize for that, Mr.
Vishnu,
Sareshwala.
Ma'am,
I'll come back to you.
For so long.
I'll come back to you, but I need to go across to Maulana Khalid Rashid to respond to this. Respond to what is being stated over here. The arguments being put across in the Supreme Court are deeply sexist by any measure, sir.
First of all, it must be made very clear in our mind that Muslim personal law, the Islamic Sharia, is not only based on Quran. It is based on Quran and Hadith. To say that triple talaq is not mentioned in Quran, so it cannot be a part of Islamic Sharia, is not right.
In the Quran.
That's what I am saying, that Islamic law is based on Quran and Hadith. In Quran, it has been asked to offer namaz. How you have to offer? You have to see how Prophet Muhammad has offered that. That is, you have to take it from Hadith. Quran has asked you to keep roza. How you have to keep roza? You have to refer to the Hadith. That is the compilation of Muslim personal law. And secondly, as far as gender equality is concerned, when Muslim personal law has given right to Muslim men to exercise their right of divorce, at the same time it has also given the same right to Muslim women to exercise their right of divorce through talaq or fasq nikah.
But sir, Maulana sahab, do you not agree that the way triple talaq is being practiced in many ways is reprehensible? The fact that people are now picking up the phone, are saying triple talaq three times and believing that the law and their legal requirements have been provided for. Is this what we want in our country? Is this what we want
See,
in our
the,
law?
Vishnu, how
the
is
cases,
there? How much is the incidence of divorce
cases,
among the Muslim and others? Could you kindly let us know?
The cases of the case, the cases of triple talaq are less than 1% in the Muslim community. Sure. If certain people are misusing a law, it does not mean that you will abolish that law. There are 50,000 cases pending in various courts for divorce according to an Indian report of 2010. What the government has done in that aspect, every 1 hour, okay, a woman is being killed in our country for dowry. What the government is doing in this regard?
Vishnu, they are just going 498 on and on.
Zafar Sareshwala, you've been waiting very patiently. I want to go across to you. Now, according to a study of 2015 by the Bhartiya Muslim Mahila Andolan Survey, 92% of Muslim women in India want oral triple talaq banned. 78% of women interviewed say that have been divorced using triple talaq. 55% of respondents have been married before the age of 18. 91.7% of Muslim women are against polygamy, and 4,710 Muslims have been married women surveyed across 10 states. So it's less than 5,000 over here. The argument which has been made is that this survey doesn't reflect what most Muslim women want.
Yes.
How would you counter that, sir?
Vishnu, I'll take.
Please go ahead. I have kept you waiting. Please go ahead.
Tell something about the Common Civil Code. Yeah, please. You know, with regards to Common Civil Code, whenever they talk, or whenever it is talked in this country about Common Civil Code, immediately the finger is pointed out towards the Muslims. I mean, this is appalling. I mean, I can tell you that it is more problematic for the Hindu community than for the Muslims. There are much larger issues to be settled within the Hindu community. For example, you tell me, and even that 16 questions.
Yes.
I mean, I was appalled that a justice, I respect Justice Chauhan, but do you think that those 16 questions will suffice such a huge thing? I mean, what about Saat Pheras? What about Hindu undivided family? What will happen to the Karta? I mean, there are scores of things which he is silent about that. As if Common Civil Code is a problem only of the Muslims. Let me tell you, Vishnu, Muslims will not be affected, because it will be more affect to the majority community than to the Muslims. I'll tell you one more thing. Muslims in this world, 33% live as minorities, where there is no Islamic law and Muslims don't face. So I think to point that bringing Common Civil Code is the only remedy, I think this is very preposterous. And I would remind the people from the right wing that Guru Golwalkar in 1972, when again this thing was started, this directive principle thing which is started again, at that time, organizer, which is organ of RSS, and Mr. K.R. Malkani, who was the editor of that magazine,
yes,
has taken interview in the 8th September issue of Guru Golwalkar, and he has very clearly said that India is a country unity with diversity, and we don't need Common Civil Code in India. And he's also mentioning that the Muslim personal law, and particularly the Muslim family law and about inheritance, should be emulated by most of the communities in the country. So I think it is very preposterous to even discuss about Common Civil Code. Let it come across what is the contour of it, what are the permutation and combinations, what is the draft. I mean, without that, you start talking.
So
I think this is absolutely preposterous. We want to see that what is the way in which you are going to implement.
I think it's what a fair point that you raise when you say that the broad contours of any change in a united civil code needs to be looked at. Unified civil code needs to be looked at before we actually, perhaps make more points about this. But Zakia Soban, I want to come back to a point that you had raised. And we've brought this up earlier on. The point that has been stated by the others over here is that surveys which have been conducted of Muslim women on what they believe on triple talaq represent a very small minority of women. The argument being raised is that the large number of Muslim women will actually endorse what you believe to be sexist, derogatory, and utterly passé. How would you respond to this argument?
Vishnu, first of all, this is an empirical study done by us.
Of just 4,700 Muslim women.
Out of 8 crore Muslim women.
Yes. So that is the methodology of doing a survey. Sir, do I need to tell you what is the research methodology?
Yes.
But let her finish.
If it is a village of, say,
we have
employed all the empirical methods, all the research methodology in consultation with so many academics. Not only that, this survey has been, you know, making rounds in several universities, not just in our country, but globally. And we spoke to this sample, 500 women per state, and it was a sample of 5,000. And at the end of it, some samples were wasted, some questionnaires were wasted, and that's how we arrived at the 4,710 figure. Now, but what is more important is that out of the 4,710 women that we were able to speak to, an overwhelming majority want abolition of triple talaq. An overwhelming majority of women want reform in Muslim personal law. They want the religious leadership to be made accountable to the codified Muslim personal law that should be passed by the Parliament of India. And this law should be based on the Quranic injunctions of gender justice and gender equality.
It is those Quranic injunctions
which are being
your interpretation of those Quranic injunctions are being disputed over here by some of our panelists. Be that as it may,
Vishnu, we are not begging for the charity of these men.
We are
demanding what is rightfully ours. Quranically speaking, constitutionally speaking, we are demanding what Allah has given us.
Maulana Saab, the position of the government on this is something I want you to comment on, not just on what Zakia Soman is saying. You're welcome to sort of reply to what she says, but the government's position in this in court has been that gender equality and dignity of women is non-negotiable. In fact, in this appeal itself, the Law Commission has spelled this out very, very clearly. Family law reform inter alia has to view women's rights as an end in itself rather than a matter of constitutional provisions, religious rights and political debate alone. Is this a position you're willing to accept?
Yes, gender equality is not negotiable. This is the stand of Muslim personal law itself. Muslim personal law has ensured gender equality. As far as the survey is concerned, they have conducted survey of among less than 1,000 women. We have organized a women conference 2 months ago, which was also covered by our channel. And 10,000 of Muslim women participated in that conference, and they, in one voice, have said that they do not want any change in their Muslim personal law.
Last one.
Because those women are afraid of you. You have not given them the empowerment and the freedom
to
speak. That's why.
Please understand one thing. As far as the Uniform Civil Code is concerned, or as far as going out of the faith is concerned, this is already available with us. Anybody who does not want to follow the Muslim law, please, when you were talking, I was keeping quiet.
Let's not lose. Just make your point quickly. Sir.
Yes, I'm making a point very clear. Indian Marriage Act is already there. Anybody who wants to go, you can go. There's absolutely no issue. No law will be applicable as far as we are concerned. We have already told you in our Nikah Nama, model Nikah Nama, which is available on the website also, we have made the conditions.
But isn't that interpretation deeply offensive?
I would like to
also believe that the faith, as they practice it, for the women.
I'm not talking about the women who are Muslims. I'm talking about the women who want to go in for this. As far as the Muslims are concerned, already the contract is there. And contract Nikah Nama is already providing the ban on the triple talaq or one talaq, and it goes even about the arbitration. What is wrong in there?
Zakia, you wanted to respond to that before I go back to Nalin.
I'm saying, in the Quran, there is no role for any intermediate.
I'll come to you, Zafar Saab. One moment. Zakia, go ahead.
Muslim women can read the Quran and implement it in their lives. We don't need these kind of go-between people to tell us what is gender justice as per the Quran.
But why do you say they are go-between people? I mean, they can say that you are as well.
It's a matter of faith only.
We are on the side of justice and they are on the side of injustice.
Vishnu.
Even as they are a social organization, we are also a social organization. We are on the side of justice and they are on the side of...
Zafar Sarishwala, I'll come to you in a moment. Nalin has been waiting very patiently.
Zafar bhai, go ahead.
Yes. Zafar bhai, go ahead.
No, Vishnu, I've got one quick point. Even those people who say that triple talaq is permissible in this form, in one sitting, even they say that it is a grave sin. It is a sin. The easiest solution is which the second Khalif brought, Hazrat Umar. During his time, this triple talaq in one sitting was very rampant. It became very rampant. So he put punishment for that. Anybody who indulges in this kind of triple talaq should be given 100 lashes. So I would request that any Muslim who does not go according to the Quranic principle of talaq without arbitration and without those, time frame, without the process, then he should be given 10 years sentence. Very easy. This whole triple talaq business will be finished.
Yeah, he should go to jail.
Even people who yeah. say it is yes, they also say it is a grave sin. So I think this is the easiest solution to that.
What about the issue of...
May I?
Yes, Naren, go ahead.
See, I want to make two or three points clear. First of all, even a discussion on the Uniform Civil Code, obviously, like Zafar Bhai at the beginning was saying, there are issues involved, it would involve other religions, everything. Maybe there are 16 questions there, 14 questions there, the scope would expand. Because after all, these are things that would call for a great detailed involvement. Interaction. You to reject the scope of interaction means non-acceptance that we should discuss. And that's why I go back to the constitutional principle. Number two, why would the Hindus or the Muslims, vice versa, want to look at anybody else's personal thing? I mean, the Hindus won't like it if the Muslims are going to say that this is how you should manage your religion. The Muslims are not going to like it. But every one of us bows down when we say that we've come to the constitutional scheme. And we say that we would like to see the principles followed. So gender equality, right to life and liberty, in terms of the personal laws, in terms of the directive principles, it's a complete package. You can't pick and choose as per liking or disliking. And the last point I'm making it, to immediately put this as a political thing brought up by the BJP, this is an institution. The Law Commission is an institution. Then tomorrow, if the Supreme Court passes an order which somebody doesn't like, you're going to say, ban the Supreme Court, we will not do it, this is democracy, is a dictatorship. It's a dangerous trick. So we need to understand everyone has a right to put a protest within the scheme, but don't run down institutions because you don't like the point of view.
You know, Kamal Saab, the position of the government in this particular case in the Supreme Court has also been that India is a founder member of the UN, bound by its charter on gender equality. We have to abide by that. Triple talaq is against fundamental rights and the right to live with dignity. And that again, 20 Islamic countries, including Pakistan and Bangladesh, have regulated the matrimonial laws. So that Nalin is trying to make over.
No, you're right when you say regulated instead of banning it.
Well, they have banned it in many instances.
No.
They have banned it in many instances.
In some of these small countries which are done it, that's absolutely...
I think I recall Turkey being banned.
The point that has been mentioned by Nalin...
Putting together all the Muslim countries, so-called, which you are talking about, we have banned it, putting together, they will not be even 5% of the total Muslim population of this country. Please understand that. So some of the countries are very tenuous countries. Some of the countries had done it like in Egypt. They had done it long back in 1925.
It's not so much the point of which country has banned it or not. I'm just saying this is the position of the government in the Supreme Court. And the point that Nalin is saying is that there are institutions which all of us, irrespective of our faith, need to respect. We have a government, we have a constitution, we have international obligations as well. So
we have the Supreme Court.
We have the Supreme Court as well. So therefore, how does one not?
But you are not doing that.
You are not willing to change.
You cannot equate Law Commission with Supreme Court. Supreme Court is there to take care of the all the rights, whether they are the fundamental rights in Article 25 or 13, 14. Supreme Court will take care of it, and Supreme Court has already.
All right. Well, let's earlier judgments.
They have already seen
well,
it.
Well, there is an important Supreme Court judgment now on the legality of triple talaq.
The triple talaq is there.
A lot of questions. Let us see where this debate goes. I'd like to thank all of you very much for joining us. And we're going to come back to this debate as soon as it comes back up in the Supreme Court.